We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, let's go to the Western Hotline. Let's talk some New York Jets football with my man Connor Rodgers of Bleacher Report. Connor, first and foremost, man, hope all is well. It's been a few months. How are things with everything going on? Staying safe, staying busy, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Very fortunate, Nate, and thanks. It's always good to talk to you, especially on these Saturdays as we get closer to hopefully football seasons across the board. I know it is disappointing with the Mac news today, but just the reality of the situation we're living in. But I think things have gotten a lot better in New York and New Jersey, obviously downstate here, closer to the city, since the last time we spoke. So everything is good. Stick to Football is back, and a very busy time of the year at Bleacher Report right now.
Absolutely, man. And obviously, with everything going on in New York, I take pride in the fact that, you know, we all kind of live in a state in a tri-county area. I mean, obviously, we're in a different part of the state, but you know, I think it's safe to say at this point that we've done a good job of keeping this thing under control. And if there is one part of the country who set an example of how we get to watch football, I do think that it's been the Northeast. It's been, you know, New York State. It's been New Jersey. It's been Massachusetts. And I do take pride in the fact that, you know, we took it seriously because we all wanted to watch college and NFL football. The rest of the country, we would like to kind of catch up to where we are, at least at this point, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when you look at the situation, a lot of people point to, well, you know, this is where it was at its worst when this thing started. Yeah. And there's no denying that. But at the same time, you can make the argument that we simply, as a nation, did not know much about this virus. And as time went on, obviously there was a lot of, you know, loved ones lost here, which is horrible. But people have made a concerted effort. I mean, there's really nothing open in terms of entertainment down here. Obviously, fitness centers and things along the line of that, it just doesn't exist right now. People wear masks outside where I live in Hoboken. And I even took a trip upstate this summer up to Ithaca and that area around it. And same thing, everybody's just super responsible. And I think a lot of people in this area have made a serious effort to do the right thing, for each other, which is the way hopefully the rest of the nation catches up. But with how long this has taken, it's obviously had a huge effect right away on college sports, and we're going to see how it impacts the NFL this year.
Stick to Football podcast co-host Connor Rodgers from Bleacher Report here on the Western Hotline. Connor, let's talk about these New York Jets. You know what? Before we do that, I would like to get a better understanding, and I know my listeners would as well, of what the Bills are getting in Brian Winters, and obviously signing a one-year, $3 million contract after the John Feliciano injury with a torn pectoral. He is expected to miss at least a portion the first half of the season at the very most. If he's likely going to slot in and start next to Mitch Morse and whoever ultimately starts at right tackle, whether that's Ty Nsekhe or Cody Ford, what are the Bills getting if he is healthy? And I know that's a big if, but if he is healthy, do the Bills have someone they can count on to fill in for whether it's 4, 6, 7 games here?
It's absolutely a huge if, but you make a great point, Nate, where with Feliciano, who he is not on the level of a player like Feliciano, just to make clear, at this stage of their careers. At this point of the market, it's hard to really find a solution, right? So you can't knock Bean at all for making this move. It's a swing, right? Because Warford is really the other guard that was on the market, and he's come out and said he's not going to play this year. So it almost feels like Winters was one of the next guys up as he, you know, pretty much got cut as soon as the Jets started their training camp, or at least the beginning of that process. Now, when Winters is healthy, and the reason the Jets had given him a big extension a couple of years ago is he's a very, very good run blocker, a very good drive run blocker. I mean, straight away, he had a lot of impressive just overall strength in the run game. I mean, some of his best performances came against when Ndamukong Suh was playing at a high level for the Dolphins. Winters actually did a very good job of him and had a lot of good years as a good run blocker for the Jets. I mean, you got to realize he's been there for a pretty decent amount of time. Now, where things have fallen apart, when he's healthy, he's just a mediocre at best pass protector throughout his entire career. Even during his best years, he's, you know, drawn a lot of holding penalties. He has gotten beaten on the interior. He's not a guy that you're probably going to, you know, not give help to, right? You would prefer that the center can shade help to him. You prefer that the running back, you know, it will at least have the eyes on the interior. Winters has been prone to being beat inside. Now, when he's healthy, though, once again, Bills team, that is no secret, they're going to run the ball a ton. Mm-hmm. He can really help there. And I think it's an important point that with Winters, you know, can he survive six or seven games this year? You'd really hope so. And the Bills will be fine with the signing. The biggest issues that the Jets have had with him the last 2 years is, especially last year, he had a significant shoulder injury. He tried to play through it, and he was just flat out bad, mm-hmm. like very bad. He was as big of a problem on that offensive line, which I thought was the second worst unit in the league, only ahead of the Miami Dolphins. He was one of the biggest issues on it. So with Winters, what you have to be careful with is if he comes in healthy, ready to go, it's a solution, because I think the Bills have a pretty solid offensive line. They have good chemistry where he won't look completely out of place. He's a fine stopgap option at that position. But if he tries to play through an injury, we saw a lot of problems in pass protection. And on top of that, he didn't bring the same edge in the run game we were so used to seeing years before.
All right, well, let's switch gears. And thanks for that, Connor. I know a lot of people were still really interested in what they were potentially getting in a Brian Winters. So I think that definitely clears that up for a lot of the listeners. But as we kind of transition back to Jets talk here, Connor, I struggle to maybe find a good word to describe this Jets offseason, because I think it started off very promising watching Joe Douglas remake that offensive line, bring guys in, a Greg Van Rauten, right? George Font. So they're bringing in guys that can come in and help and maybe establish a better presence along that offensive line. You see them go and make some free agent moves at wide receiver, bringing in Brandon Perriman. Not a guy that is going to blow the pants off anybody, but a guy that is going to help this offense nonetheless. Free agency started until the time now where we see C.J. Mosley opt out of the NFL season due to COVID, and obviously the big trade a few weeks back of Jamal Adams, like, where would you say your confidence was, like, right around April 10th? Or how about this? Your confidence was May 1st to what it is on August 1st. Like, where do you think that confidence changed, and what move or what series of moves ultimately made that change happen?
I think, once again, my expectations, even after the draft, were not extremely high for this Jets team. It felt like a lot of the moves they made were treading water moves. The only one that feels like it can make a real, real difference, well, two. One is that they drafted Mekhi Becton, who can really change your run game, at which the Jets just could not get a push in the run game for Le'Veon Bell last year. But they still have problems at right tackle, right? So it's like you feel like this team needs another offseason to really establish their offensive line of the future. And Joe Douglas will now do that with the extra picks. Now, the second thing was the return of C.J. Mosley, for me, is something that it really could have taken this defense over the top. They have some serious issues where they don't have a lot of edge pass rush. They're relying on bounce-back seasons at corner for a few guys, mm-hmm. and that could be tough. But Greg Williams really coached this unit up where they somehow were a top-10 unit last year while the offense was near the bottom of the league. So this team's problems were with Adam Gase, not with Greg Williams. Now you lose C.J. Mosley. It hurts because you thought he could take them to the next level, but he didn't play last year, right? And the Bills fans saw him for one half of football where he was really good. That's the only time he was, you know, seriously on the field and healthy. Now, losing Jamal Adams, of course it makes an impact. He's definitely a difference maker. I think it's been a little overstated or overrated how much of a difference he makes, because he really doesn't take away the football in the air. He makes a lot of good plays behind the line of scrimmage, and relying on him to be your top pass rusher, I'm not saying the production last year was a fluke. It wasn't. But a ton of it came against the Washington football team and the New York Giants in two huge games. So relying on him to do that over a full season this year would have been tough. I do think the defense is in a position where they could potentially take a little bit of a step back, but it seems like the team is mostly treading water. They didn't get a lot better or a lot worse. The biggest thing is the schedule is so much harder this year that they just seem like a 5-6 win team now because they simply are playing a lot better opponents this year, a lot better passing teams.
You know, Connor, I understand he's gone now, and the distraction that was everything around and surrounding Jamal Adams is gone. I do get the sense, though, Connor, that it's going to be difficult for a player that I think was probably very much respected in that locker room in Jamal Adams, saying the things that he said about Adam Gase. Like, first and foremost, if you're Joe Douglas and you do believe in Adam Gase, there is no doubt that that was the moment that that was the official impasse. Is like, you've now crossed the line saying the things that you said in the media about your head coach. Like, that's kind of the line that was crossed that couldn't be taken back. And I wonder, though, the things are now out there. The dirty laundry, not that those are things we didn't know about, but that's a player that's respected in that locker room, verbalizing what a lot of people thought was the situation in that locker room. So with that being said, like, how does Adam Gase... how does he exist in this locker room next year? Like, there is going to be a built-in excuse for Adam Gase not winning 10 football games or 8 football games or being a playoff caliber team. So with that being said, like, is this a guy that right now does have the full support of his general manager? It seems like it does, but I almost think, like, even if you're Joe Douglas and even if you don't fully trust in Adam Gase, like, that's a move you have to make when your best player comes out and basically trashes your head coach in the media. It's not really an option for him. It's not him picking Adam Gase over Jamal Adams. It's literally just, you can't do that. You can't have that. So, like, where does it leave Adam Gase in this organization?
Yeah, there's a lot to go through here. It was first off being the Jets were done with Jamal Adams behind closed doors well before that article came out. And you know, Manish Mehta from the Daily News had an exclusive where Jamal basically shredded not just Adam Gase, but how Joe Douglas handled the entire process. Now, whether how you feel about that, good or bad, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of the Jets and Seahawks had already worked out the deal before that article ever came out, before they were ever aware of it. So the Jets had moved on. They were really just done with Adams and felt like the return they were getting from Seattle was too to pass up anyway. Sure. So now you look at the Gase dynamic, Nate, we've talked about this since the day he was hired with the Jets, before they were even, you know, a 7-win team last year that, quite frankly, were not good on offense at all, which is what he was brought in to do. So those problems exist. My question is this. One, I've told people for a long time, I think the belief, the ties to Joe Douglas is a little bit overstated. And even if it's not, with Woody Johnson coming back to this team, there's a very good chance that Woody comes over the top and they just move on from Adam Gase anyway, whether there's built-in excuses or not, which during the pandemic, a C.J. Mosley opt-out, a Jamal Adams trade, you know, they lost Robbie Anderson in free agency, maybe they suffer a lot more injuries again this year. There will be excuses for Adam Gase. Now, the question is, does the owner group, you know, Woody didn't hire him, Chris Johnson did. So when Woody comes back to take over the team, and we'll see where Woody's situation goes, which is a whole other dilemma with this franchise right now, we'll see if, you know, because they're a franchise quite clearly where Joe Douglas makes the football decisions, sure, but something like the head coaching is really, really controlled by ownership. So that's where this can get flipped upside down. Joe Douglas, once again, on the 6-year deal. Adam Gase has been on a 4-year deal. There's a very different timeline for these two. And in terms of how it'll affect the team this year, it's kind of going to be a little similar to last year where Greg Williams is really the head coach of the defense. And Adam Gase works directly with Sam Darnold. And I am not a believer that that's a good head coaching dynamic in really any level of football, to be honest with you. And that's why I was not a fan of this hire to begin with. And it's something that is just going to be the reality of this football team. This is, you know, not a Matt Rhule that has run offenses, coached defensive lines, like he's just done everything. And he's just a CEO of the franchise. It's just not that dynamic. It's a little bit of a split up group, and it's tough to have a great season with that dynamic unless you're like the Rams, as we've seen in the past with McVay and Wade before. But once again, even then, McVay had a better grasp on the team than Gase ever has.
Connor Rogers here, the Stick to Football podcast on Bleacher Report here on the Wester Hotline, talking some Jets football with us. And you know, I think we all, even if you're a Bills fan and you hate the Jets, I think we all fall under this same sympathetic umbrella of poor Sam Darnold. And, you know, whether it's been their inability to surround him with a supporting cast worthy of what we think he's worthy of to the coaching changes and scheme changes and a lame duck head coach. Like, it just seems like really from the very beginning, the mono, right? Like, just everything that could go wrong for Sam Darnold has gone wrong. So with that being said, I know that this is going to probably be overblown probably all season, especially if the Jets struggle early on out of the gates. And let's say this is a team that's fighting for the number one overall pick. If you're Joe Douglas and you're the New York Jets and you have the number one, number two, or number three overall pick, and you're in a position to take Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, but you've got Sam Darnold, like, that's going to be a very difficult and long drawn out process from the time the season ends until that pick is taken. Like, where are we going to be with this Jets team if they're a 3 or 4 win team and they're fighting for the number one overall pick? And this is going to be, it's not going to be Sam Darnold's fault, but I think just through where you're going to end up in the draft, where it's going to be hard to say no to Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, even though you still may really like Sam Darnold, right?
I mean, absolutely. And the way you frame the question is a much better version of the, should the Jets trade all of their picks they just acquired to go up and get a Trevor Lawrence? Because it comes down to this, Nate. Like you said, if they're bad enough this year where they're picking first or second overall, it probably tells me that Sam Darnold didn't do anything to elevate this team. No matter how bad the situation is, because it's been awful for him, it also tells me that he didn't elevate the team. If they're, once again, if they're that bad, they have a new head coach. It's not even a question. And it just makes you wonder, do they start fresh with Joe Douglas, who did draft Sam Darnold? He does like him a lot, though. I will make that very clear. Joe Douglas thinks Sam Darnold is the real deal. Joe Douglas acquired those picks to put a good football team around Sam Darnold, not replace him. But once again, if you're in the number one or number two spot, and somebody like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, this is a three-headed monster, a quarterback this draft, it is going to become a conversation, because then you're not giving up assets for them, right? You're looking at a situation where somebody might trade a pick for Sam Darnold. You're taking a new quarterback from the new head coach with the top two or three pick, and then you still have another first rounder. You still have another third rounder, or two thirds. You still have your second. You have two fifths. The following year, you have two firsts. Like, this is a team loaded with draft capital where I don't think you're using that draft capital to come up and get a different quarterback, because Sam Darnold hasn't been put in a position to succeed. Why would a Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or Trey Lance succeed with the Jets with not a better roster? It doesn't make any sense. So I think when you look at it, Darnold will really have to bottom out this year for it to come to that. But if you are picking in the top two, it is absolutely a conversation.
I guess then my follow-up question at the Sam Darnold conversation is, in your eyes, then, what does Sam Darnold need to do this season to give himself an opportunity, despite maybe not having the talent level and the coaching? Like, how does he stick around for another year while this team will almost, I don't want to say guarantee struggle, but I do think that in this division, like, the, maybe that's the one area where you could see this team get a couple of wins against a Miami Dolphins team or even a Bills team. Like, there are always good matchups, Bills and Jets games. You know, even the Patriots, to a certain extent, I could see as potential easier setup and matchup for the New York Jets. So, like, in your eyes, what does Sam Darnold need to do to get his fourth year?
You need him to elevate the offense a little bit, right? This is a group that was near the basement last year. In a lot of categories, it felt like they were 30th, 31st, 32nd. You need them to be a middle-of-the-pack offense. You don't need them to be a top-10 offense. I mean, let's be real. He has a rookie in Denzel Mims, who I really like a lot, but do I expect Denzel Mims to come out and be this all-world wide receiver right away? That's not fair. The guy was drafted in the second round for a reason, not the top 10. Jamison Crowder is a good slot option, but once again, you know, Chris Herndon wasn't healthy at all last year after a suspension. There's a lot of holes on this team. So if they're middle-of-the-pack offense, that tells me that Sam Darnold elevated this football team, because on paper, they are not a middle-of-the-pack offense. They are very, very low on paper. So I think he just needs to really try to elevate this team. They need to be competitive on offense. If they're losing games 40-35 or, you know, obviously things like that where, hey, it's not the offense's fault, it's not Sam Darnold's fault, then you sit there and go, all right, we need to go into this next offseason. We need a number one corner. We need a number one edge pass rusher. We need a right tackle. We need a number one wide receiver. Let's go get some of those things from our young quarterback that showed he can elevate what was a bad offense on paper. So he really, really, Nate, has to bottom out for them to not roll with Sam Darnold in a fourth season. And I think when you look at patches of his career, right, how he finished last year, once he looked healthy after, you know, recovering from mono, there's a lot of promise. How he finished his rookie season with Chris Herndon constantly making an impact, there was a lot of promise. But now you need to see that over a 14-game stretch. Nobody's going to be perfect across 16 games. That's just not how the NFL works. Even Pat Mahomes threw a couple interceptions last year. But you really need Darnold to be a more consistent player that elevates his team.
All right, and finally, Connor, you've mentioned several times Greg Williams' sort of effect on the defense and sort of how he's viewed within that locker room as sort of the de facto guy that I think a lot of them might even, I don't think anyone would actually say this, but maybe Jamal Adams would, that would rather see a Greg Williams in a head coaching position there in New York. If Adam Gase were this, let's just say this is Adam Gase's final hurrah, what do you expect a Joe Douglas to do? And let's say this is another year where, you know, Williams just gets far more from this Jets defense than anybody thinks he's going to get. Because I think I look at this defense, I think they're the weakest one in the division, just based on what's left. If he's able to salvage, you know, not having the personnel that he should and likely won't have this year, is there a case to be made that maybe Greg Williams deserves a shot if they ultimately move on from Adam Gase next year?
There's definitely a case, right? Now, is it likely? Not really, but there's definitely a case. And what it comes down to, Nate, is actually not as much of what he does on the field this year, because I think Greg has a resume where you sit there and you go, the guy can coach a defense. The guy can develop players. The guy can rally a team. I mean, players love Greg Williams. They really, really, at least as far as I've, you know, been, you know, on top of this Jets regime with Greg Williams, everybody in the building just loves him. And it's not just, you know, it wasn't just Jamal Adams. It wasn't just a Steve McClendon. It's Le'Veon Bell. It's players like that. They really, really like Greg Williams. So the big thing for Greg is, no matter what he does this year, he would have to, and Joe Douglas will be involved in this too, have to have a legitimate young up-and-coming offensive coordinator as a guy that will come and work under him, right? Greg could be the head coach of the team. You would have to have a bargaining chip, some kind of influence to land a Mike McDaniel, who's been with Kyle Shanahan for years now and is more than ready. He's actually been blocked from offensive coordinator jobs in the past, who's more than ready to coach an offense, absolutely, especially any kind of run game for a young quarterback. So it's not likely, but I think there's a situation where if Greg doesn't get a chance to be an interim coach at this point of the year, he definitely earned that interview. It's just, what kind of offensive staff can he bring along for Sam Darnold or another young quarterback?
Awesome, man. I appreciate it, as always, you know, being so generous with your time and hopping on the program. We appreciate it. Love talking Jets, even though, you know, it is a bitter rivalry. We do we love hearing and talking to you guys, so we do appreciate it, man. Good luck this season, and I'm looking forward to the season, fingers crossed, where we'll get to hash out hopefully a matchup here coming up very soon in just a few weeks. So we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend here and the lead up into the NFL season. We'll be listening.
Thanks so much, Nate. Stay safe. Have a great weekend, man.
You as well, brother. Appreciate it. Connor Rogers there of Bleacher Report. He is the co-host of the Stick to Football podcast on Bleacher Report with Matt Miller. So you can check that, of course, at bleacherreport.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.